12. We'll look in the book of Romans, chapter 12 this evening, and we're going to get right in the message, let you go here this evening. Thank you for coming. We're going to bring you a message here. Any serious Bible student that's been saved any time at all, any amount of time at all, is familiar with Romans chapter number 12. And so tonight, let's look at these very familiar verses. It's been preached 100 different ways, and I want to preach tonight on the subject, how to get the most out of your Christian life. How to get the most out of your Christian life. You hear that on TV and in magazines, how to get the most out of life, make your life count, stuff like that. I want to preach on how to get the most out of your Christian life. Verse 1, chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. This is not to save you, it's because you're saved. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Stop right there just a second. Now, you know there's a lot of people that believe, well, if you want to get 100% dedicated, that's all right. That's just for a few Christians. Us normal Christians, we just sort of float through life and soak up blessings and die and go to heaven. He said, presenting your bodies a sacrifice is your reasonable service. That's the least we can do is give it all. The least we can do is give it all for the Lord. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that what is good, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How to get the most out of your Christian life. Listen fast. I'm going to talk fast. How can a Christian make his life count? We only got one life. It'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. How am I going to make the most? You know, the older I get, the more I realize every day that our time here on this earth is short. We're here for a short time. You teenagers don't believe this, but you're 16, 17, 18. First thing you know, you're going to be in your 20s. It'll drag through there. You get in your 30s, it speeds up. You get in your 40s, brother. I'm telling you, some of y'all don't even remember your 30s and 40s. They're gone just like that. Next thing you know, you're looking at less time in front of you than you got behind you. More time behind you than you got in front of you. And you start thinking, Lord, I'm over halfway. And you know what midlife crisis is? Midlife crisis is when you wake up and you're about 45 or close to 50 and you ain't done nothing. And you start saying, good night, I ain't worth a dime. I ain't accomplished nothing. And then it all hits you at one time. Ladies and gentlemen, let's make our life count for God. Amen? That's all that's going to matter anyway. A man who has all his plans ending in this life is a fool. A person who has all their plans in this world is a fool for eternity. The tragedy of a wasted life. There are people, you better remember this, there are people in heaven and in hell that would give anything in the world to have the opportunity that you've got right now. Now you understand that. I know people in heaven are happy they're there and they don't want to come back here. I don't mean it like that. But I mean there are people in heaven right now, your age, my age, that say, if I could just go back, if I could just go back and do it again, I'd do this and I'd do that. Sometimes I set myself down. And I set myself down and I say, now Danny, imagine you're 80 years old. That's getting easier and easier to imagine. Shut up. Imagine I'm 80 years old. And I think one of these days, if the Lord don't come, something don't happen, I'm going to be there. And I thought, if I could go back, what would I do? And I say, all right, I'd do this, 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 and this. Well, I can't do it when I'm 80, but I can do it right now. So I want to do now what I wished I would have done when I'm that age. And if you're not careful, you'll be one of these people that's always, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, and one of these days I'm going to get right, and one of these days I'm going to get dedicated, and one of these days I'm really going to get in there, and I'm going to be faithful, and I'm going to sing the choir, and I'm going to do right. And if you're not careful, it'll pass you by. So how are we going to get the most out of our life? The average Christian life counts for absolutely nothing. You know it and I know it. A lot of folks that get saved now. I'm not the judge. I can't say who's saved and who ain't. But I know one thing. A lot of people saved, they sure are wasting their life. They're doing absolutely nothing for God. I want to give you a few things this evening. And really, really quick, just a few things. Number one, I want to say, if you want your life to count, I want to say, count the cost of being a disciple. You got to sit down and count the cost of being the disciple. The Lord said one time, if a man's going to go to war, he sits down first and counts the cost. That's true. I mean, anybody, our generals and our military men and our leaders, they sit down and they say, now, they got so many soldiers, they got so many tanks, they got so many jets and bombers, are we able to do it? You sit down and count the cost. I believe a lot of people just said, I won't be a disciple, and never counted the cost. There is a cost to pay. In Matthew 10:16, Luke 14:25, Matthew 10:24, you know what the Lord said? He said the disciple is not above his master. Now, don't take this wrong, but you can be saved and not always be a disciple. A disciple is somebody that follows the Lord. What does that word disciple look like? Discipline. It means a disciplined follower of the Lord. I've been saved since I've been 18 years old, but I have not always followed the Lord like I should. A disciple follows Him. Footsteps of Jesus. Up this way, down this way, following the Lord. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Right now, in your life, are you following Jesus? It's a disciple. He said the disciple is not above his master. If they call the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more those of his household? That means we got to settle it in our mind. If we're going to be a disciple, the world ain't going to love us. They're not going to celebrate us. They're going to call us names. They cuss the Lord and He's our master. How much more are they going to say to me and you? Amen. We were talking about getting cussed on bus route the other day. Brother John got it yesterday. He got cussed by the same person we got cussed by. Out on bus route. That's good for you, Brother John. Make a man out of you. Amen. It's good for you. You need to get cussed out once in a while. You need to take a handful of tracks and go out in the world for night. The other night, Doug called me. Big Doug, y'all know? I was pulling Walmart parking lot over there to get a few things and take them home. And Doug called. He said, Brother Danny, I can't talk like he talks. Got that Yankee accent. And he said, Brother Danny, he said, I want you to pray for us. We're going down in New York City to preach tonight. And some men got down in the middle. I said, what part you going to, Doug? He said, Times Square. I mean, Times Square on Friday night, brother. I mean, that's a hell hole of the world right there. I've preached in Times Square before. I know I was right, but I had 100 people behind me. And there was just like 3 of these guys. And we took a group up there to a bunch of kids and a bunch from another church. And we sung right in the middle of Times Square and played music. And there was people hanging out of them office windows up there, 30 and 40 stories up, saying, what in the world? Beverly Hillbillies come to New York. That's what they thought. But I guarantee you they felt a spirit they ain't felt in Times Square in a long time. But I told Doug, I said, brother, be careful. He said, well, we're going to go preach. I said, look, that's a disciple there, buddy. I mean, you go in the middle of Times Square, New York City on Friday night, that takes some intestinal fortitude for you nice people. I'm telling you something, brother. I'm telling you something. I take guts, brother. I take some courage. I take some man. I said, now, Doug, you know that you're the big one and they're going to shoot you first. You know, your head sticks out above everybody else. Somebody gets shot, it's going to be you. And he said, I know it. I said, I'll pray for you, brother. And I prayed with him over the phone. As far as I know, they did all right. I never have heard nothing else from them. Maybe they're all right. But ladies and gentlemen, that's what a disciple is. Realize it will cost you something. Count it and go for it. Go for it. Go for it. Go for it. Too many times people get saved and they do good for a little while and then they go through a hard time. They get sick. They lose their job. A sickness comes on them. They get to go through a divorce. And I've had them sit in my office and say, well, I didn't know this was going to happen. I didn't know. And we get this mentality that when you're saved,
Everything goes good. Everything's right. Everything's wonderful. No, you don't have no problem. Let me tell you something, brother. He never promised us no rose garden. He never said it'd always be easy. Sometimes it's a hard road. That's why I said fight the good fight of faith. Brother, I'm telling you, sometimes you got to just hunker down, pull your hat down, load your gun, and you're staying there for God and be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. It ain't always easy. Amen? I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you can't be one of these little moody Christians. We're always in a mood. Well, I don't want to get it here. I don't feel like it. You got to read your Bible and be a disciple of the Lord and study the Word of God and pray whether you feel like it or whether you don't. As a matter of fact, you are just starting to be a good Christian when you do what you're supposed to do even when you don't feel like it. That's a soldier. That's what a soldier's supposed to do. Somebody said, well, I don't feel like reading my Bible and I don't want to be a hypocrite. Oh my goodness. You're so far off base. Listen, you don't go by your feelings. You do what you're supposed to do no matter what. Somebody said, are you feeling a little moody today? And the lady said, well, yes and no. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. It's hard to say. You may be right, but I don't think so. Yeah, that's the kind of crazy people we got. Now, you got to realize it will cost you something. It means forsaking all to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Count the cost of being a disciple. Number two, how to make a success of your Christian life, make the most out of it. Number two, make a deliberate commitment to Jesus Christ and stick with it. Make a deliberate commitment to Jesus Christ. You say, I thought I did that when I got saved. Well, most of the time when you get saved, you're just asking to save you from hell. You get straightened out. Then you go to church and you figure out, I've got to give Him my life. I'd been saved about 3 months. Was sitting on the front pew of Nebo Baptist Church up there where I got saved. Sitting right here. Girl I went to school with sitting right here. Pastor was sitting right there. We were sitting there at the church one night. She said, Danny, you've been saved now a while. She said, why don't you just give the Lord everything? And I said, you know what? I was holding back. You know how when you first get saved, a lot of times you'll hold back stuff. You'll hold back your music. You'll hold on to that music. One of the most dangerous and dumbest things you can do as a Christian is hold on to worldly music. Because I don't care how good it sounds, you will never have complete victory in your life holding on to this world. Its attitudes, the whole world system, it just ain't going to happen. Now, let me say, you can't help but hear it. It's everywhere you go. But I'm talking about deliberately, on purpose, in your car. Listen, I'm telling you something. I was holding on. I was holding on to a few things. I was still going places I shouldn't go. I was still hanging around people I shouldn't hang around. And she told me, Nedra Bradley, I went to school with her. She said, Danny, surrender everything. And they talked to me there, and I sat there, and I was saved. I was saved. But I hadn't fully, you know what I'm talking about, I hadn't given all to God. But I say, and I sat there that night, my heart beating out of my chest, and I said, I want to do it. And they said, all right. And I got down at the altar, and I said, God, I'm giving you everything. Everything in my life, I'm not holding nothing back. That's what some of you need to do right here tonight. You need to just say, Lord, you're scared to, ain't you? You're afraid. Well, He might make me quit doing this, and I don't want to quit. And He might make me do, and I don't want to quit. And listen, God ain't going to hurt you. Whatever God's got for you is good for you. He knows best. You don't know best. And I'm going to tell you something. God never took nothing away from nobody that He didn't have something a whole lot better to give you back in its place. Glory to God, brother. That was the second smartest thing I ever done in my life. I give it all to Him that night. I have never been the same from that night to this. I failed Him many a time. But brother, something happened to me that night. I gave it all to Him. And that's what some of you young people and mamas and daddies need to do here tonight. Amen. I heard Lester Roloff tell this story. And he said a man in Massillon, Ohio told him, man owned 65 pigeons. And a pigeon is an unusual bird. I remember that sermon I preached on pigeon religion a few years ago. Them things are amazing. They have patterns that they follow. They do all kind of stuff. And they were in St. Louis, Missouri. And they'd fly 500 miles to Massillon, Ohio. A migrator, whatever they're doing, they'd move them and travel them. And he said they always come back at a certain time. He said when those pigeons left Massillon, Ohio, he told Brother Roloff this. He said they all come in. He said I was out in my yard a-watching for them. And he said I could time them on my watch. I knew what time. And he said this one old girl, female pigeon, said she come in. He said I could see her wings a-flapping. And he said she came in and she landed. And he said in a few minutes here come all the rest of them. 65 pigeons landed there. And he said, Brother Roloff, he said that one right there flew non-stop for 500 miles. Never made a stop. And he said, how do you know that? You don't know. He said, the rest of them have got dirt, mud or some kind of old junk on their feet where they'd stopped in a swamp, where they'd stopped. He said, she came in clean. He said, you see how clean her feet is? He said, she came home clean. She didn't stop in the muck. She didn't stop in the mire. He said, she came 500 miles and never let up. Lord have mercy. I heard that song. I like to shout it. I said, amen. That's what we ought to do, brother. We ought to just keep a flapping and come in clean for the glory of God. Come in clean, people. Come in clean. Make a safe landing. Don't get down in the crud and the junk of this old world. We don't need Hollywood to be happy. We don't have to have alcohol and drugs and some 50 shades of manure to entertain us. Thank God we've got a journey. Let's come in clean. Hallelujah. Lord, if I don't shut up, I'm going to take a shout and spell. Woo! Hallelujah! My mom's up on Mother's Day today saying, come on, Daddy, preach it. They can't you do no better now. I'm saying, Mom, I'm doing the best I can. I want to come in clean. You know what he said? He said when she came in, said she only had one thought on her mind. She's coming across 500 miles, only one thought on her mind. Get home. Get home. Get home. I've got somebody waiting on me at home. I've got somebody waiting on me when I get there. And he said when he got there, she got there, he fixed her a big meal, gave her all she wanted to eat, all she wanted to drink, and put her in the box. Amen. That's what I want the Lord to do to us. Give us a good meal and set us down, feed us, and take us home to be with Him. There's a little butterfly, certain species of butterfly. There's a bright blue color. And it has gold spots on it. A little bitty one. It has gold spots all over it that look like jewels. And you think, that is the prettiest butterfly I've ever seen in my life. But you know what? It ruins itself. It don't fly around and get in on flowers and stuff. It goes straight down the dung and feeds off cow and horse manure. That beautiful little butterfly goes straight down the dung. Boy, I know a lot of God's people. A lot of young Christian girls and boys that God saved and God's blessed them. Instead of living up here and living for the Lord, they're down there feeding on dung every Friday night and Saturday night in the world's hell holes. Amen? Rock music is dung. That's one word the New Bibles didn't translate with the modern word. Hypocrites don't update that one, will they? Amen, Brother Danny, preach it. I'm telling you, listen, brother, rap music is dung. That's right. Said one time to this old man named Jack, and he got saved. Somebody come to him and they said, Jack, I heard you gave up all your pleasures. He said, no, you heard wrong. He said, I've just found all my pleasures. I gave up all my follies. I gave up all my follies. Now stop! We give up! You think you can't live without it. But once you get set free and the Lord blesses you and it burns in your heart a heavenly hope, you'll realize it was just folly. Number three, let me say thirdly tonight. The third thing you got to do to be the most out of your Christian life is abandon your life for His glory. Matthew 16:25 said, "Whosoever will lose his life for my sake," the Lord said, "shall find it." If you want to know full joy and happiness, give up your life and trust Him with what He gives you. I've been saying before, and you know my life. Y'all know my life. I mean, you know, I the only thing I do for enjoyment, besides going to church, is play basketball. I mean, I don't play golf. Everywhere I go, preachers say, "Let's go play golf." And I go, "Ugh." I'd rather weed eat than play golf. I mean, if you play golf, that's your business. I just can't see it. I just can't see it. It don't make no sense to me. Why anybody want to knock a little old bitty ball? You ain't going to hit a hole that little. I mean, from here to out yonder, that sign. It's luck. You hit one. One out of a lifetime. I want to have a better percentage than one out of a lifetime. But anyway, I'm just not interested in that. I don't fish. I don't hunt. I do like shoot basketball. I do it for two reasons. Number one, I enjoy it. Number two, for my health. Stay, keep your heart beating. Stay healthy. That's why I get up here and preach and I ain't out of breath. I heard guys 30 years old get up here and preach, "And the Bible says, they better do something, but they ain't going to be preaching when they're 50 if they don't do better than that." But anyway, I got thinking about life, and I got thinking, when was the happiest I've ever been in my life? And I can tell you, the happiest time of my life was when I was in a great revival service, and people was getting saved, and God's saints were shouting, and the glory was in the house. That's the happiest I've ever been in my life. There ain't nothing I've ever had or been around that could compare with the joy of that being down in your soul. I've never been on drugs. I've never been drunk. So don't come to me and say, "Oh, brother, those young people went to me one night." Bunch of young people. This is how crazy they are nowadays. When I'm about 17, he said, he was in the back seat. We was going somewhere, taking them to church or something. He said, "Brother Danny, you smoke pot?" I said, "No." Some of your kin folks don't laugh. He said, "You smoke pot?" And I said, "No." He said, "Why?" He said, "You would like it." I said, "Man, you ain't supposed to smoke pot." He really, really didn't know. I mean, to them, telling them that it's like, "Do you drink Pepsi?" "Now, why not? You know, it's no different." I said, "No, I don't smoke pot. Are you crazy?" I said, "That's wrong." He said, "What's wrong with it?" I said, "It's just like drinking liquor. It messes up your judgment. Impairs your judgment. You're impaired, brother. It's just like medicine some Christians take. It's just like that, just to get drunk or just to get rid of your problems and all that." I said, "No, I don't. But I know that I've got something better than what this world's got. I'm happier now, sad, than I was then, before I got saved, when I was happy." Your worst day, Christian, is better than your best day as a lost person. Amen? What we retain, we lose. What we give to Jesus, we're sure to keep. It's win-win. Number four, listen to me carefully. I won't be long. Number four, you know how to get the most out of Christian life? Burn your bridges behind you. Make the break, young people. Let them know whose side you're on, and I can't fix it to where you can't go back. When you start a new job, that's why we put some bumper stickers. You know why we try to get you to put a bumper sticker on your car? Because it lets everybody know as soon as you pull in the parking lot whose side you're on. That right there sets you apart. I make sure, listen, if you start a new job, you go somewhere and say, "Yes, I'm a Christian." Where do you go? "I didn't when I play ball with them boys over at the rec. Just like the morning or something, I'll just go shoot." I'll say, "Where you go to church at? Did you go to church yesterday?" I get to jump on them. Now, why'd I do that? Because if you don't, they're going to start talking to each other, and they're going to start talking trash and junk. Then you feel like a hypocrite and you don't want to say nothing. But I say it first. Did you guys go to church yesterday?
No, it didn't. You know, it's Mother's Day. You know, you go to church, serve God, you go to church anymore. Right then, you know what I've done? Burnt my bridge. They don't know I'm a Christian. They don't know I ain't trying to be a smart aleck, but let them know whose side you're on. Take a stand. Don't be a chicken. Stand for Jesus. Old Bud Robinson said, I'm standing on the promises. I'm walking in His footprints. I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. And I'm drinking from the fountain that'll never run dry. Amen. Don't have this attitude of, well, I'm going to try this for a while, and if it don't work out, I can always go back. That's right. You ain't going to live no Christian life like that. Burn your bridges. Step out there and say, I can't go back. I've done told them all at work I'm saved. I've done wore a Christian t-shirt to work. You can wear a t-shirt, advertise for everything else. Wear one of them no second chance shirts to work or school. Amen? Wear them school, kids. Take a stand. Burn your bridges behind you. Amen? Make it difficult on yourself to backslide. Get rid of that boyfriend that ain't right with God. Telling you, girls, if he ain't right with God, you're better off without him. Boys, if you ain't right with God, you're better off without him. Ain't going to work no way. Ain't going to work no way. Don't lower your standards just because you're lonely. The devil, you'll be driving down the road and going out, and you'll see everybody else all hugged up and everything. And you know what? The devil will say, see, everybody in the world's happy but you. Then the truth is, they ain't. They got in a big fight about 10 minutes ago trying to make up. And he'll make you think that everybody in the world's got it made except poor little old you, and you'll feel sorry for yourself. Listen, you burn your bridges behind you. You stand for Jesus Christ and do right. And God will work out what needs to be worked out in your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things will be added. You believe that? That's what the book says. God is able to give you what you need if you'll stand for Him and do right. Number five. You know how to get the most steady Christian life? Don't get sidetracked. No man, Luke 9:62 said, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Listen, don't get sidetracked. Amen? That's right, brother. Amen? Live right. Live right. Live clean. So I've had girls tell me, Dayton's boy said, would you tell it to him about the Lord? Well, no, I don't want to scare him off. That's a dumb way to be. If that scares him off, you ought to throw up your hands and shout your head off. Say, thank God, hallelujah. God, you didn't let me get involved with an idiot like that. If going to church scares him off, you don't need him. Amen. Did you know there's power in purity? Are you listening to me? There's power in purity. What does that mean? When a person lives a clean life, there's something about them. It makes you respect them. It makes you listen to them. We all know people like that. I think of my friend Miss Kerr up there in Kentucky, and I think of other people that I know, even here in our church, that lives a clean life. There's power in it. I remember them young preachers when I first got saved. Some of them boys would lay up 2 or 3 days and pray before they get up to preach, and they didn't know a lot. They didn't have a lot of education, but I'm telling you, they had power when they stood up there. And you know what that power... God don't give a preacher power because he's educated. God don't give a preacher power because he's smart or intelligent or knows a lot of Greek and Hebrew. God honors a dedicated, pure life. And I know, brother, we're all sinners. I'm telling you, you live right. And live right when people ain't looking. And live right when nobody knows it, but just you and the Lord. And God will honor that. Don't get sidetracked. Amen. Like that one kid's talking at church or school, and the banker's kid said, my daddy's a banker, and he gives me $1 every week if I'm good. And the lawyer's kid said, well, my daddy gives me 50 cents every week if I'm good. And the other kid said, well, my daddy's a preacher. I'm good for nothing. I got to be good every week and I don't get nothing. Amen?
Listen, you just do right when you don't get no praise. When nobody knows it but just you and God. If somebody you don't get no recognition. Nobody brags on you. You're at the car wash. You're at work. And just do the right thing. Ladies, if that old pervert at work starts flirting with you, you do what's right. Do what's right because God's looking. God's looking. Amen? Don't get sidetracked. Don't get sidetracked on social issues and the environment and politics. I dread it, man. I dread to see that election year coming. Don't y'all? Lord, I dread it. All this mess. And it ain't going to matter who gets voted in or voted out. All of a sudden this thing's shot. Jesus is coming. The sooner the better. I'm not saying we shouldn't vote. I believe you should vote. We ought to do everything we can to save our country and do right. I'm not against it. But I'm not going to get sidetracked. You ain't going to hear no politics sermon coming from me at 3 out of 4 Sunday mornings next year. Brother, we're going to go on for God, try to get people saved, keep them buses running, honor the Lord. I'm not going to get sidetracked in politics. There's too many preachers on TV that's in politics. Everywhere you go, it's political, political, political. If God's calling to preach, I'll be out preaching the gospel. Amen? That's right. I'm not going to get sidetracked by God's grace. I'm not going to get sidetracked in the environmental movement. People, I go down the road sometimes. Don't get mad at me if your kin folks do this. And it'll have a little street down there and it'll say, such and such street adopted by the youth group of so and such Baptist church. That's their ministry. Going out on Saturday and picking up beer cans sinners throwed out Friday night. And they think that's serving God. Listen, you'll never hear us get together and come out here and pick up beer cans on Tom Dill Avenue. You throw them out, you pick them up. We followed you out of here the other night. I'm just kidding. God didn't call us to pick up beer cans. God called us to pray and fast and reach them sinners and quit drinking beer. Ain't that right? You say, do you believe it's all at the leader? No. That ain't got nothing to do with the Bible or God or living right. I told you before, I believe it's a sin to throw down half a pack of French fries inside of a $20,000 car. And things are expensive. Number 6, and I'm through. You know how it gets the most out of Christian life? Live to serve. Live to serve. The Lord said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I read about honeybee, and they're saying that we're having a shortage. Honeybees are dying out or something. I don't know if that's true, but the honeybee is an amazing little thing. And it makes honey the world's oldest and longest lasting sweet. Better than chocolate, better than sugar cane, is honey. And it's good for you, and it's safe, and they say that bacteria cannot even live in honey. It's such a pure food. I've heard, some of y'all experts help me, that you don't even have to digest it. It's already a perfect food. Goes into your body. And them little bees make that honey. And I thought, my. Wouldn't it be nice if all of us would just live that life so that no bacteria, no sin, no wicked could live in our lives. We'd get it out. And we'd be sweetened honey to this world. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Live to serve. That's why I encourage bus workers. Don't you get discouraged. I know today's a hard day. It's Mother's Day. We'll pick it back up next week by the grace of God. Don't you get discouraged, Sunday school teachers. You stand up there and you teach. Listen, how do you think it feels to be a preacher? I'm telling you, brother, if you look at the bad, it's discouraging sometimes. But you got to keep looking at the good God's doing. I was telling Brother Wayne's with us, come in this evening. I was telling him,
We had 6 people join the church last Sunday. Big crowd. Offering's been bigger than they have in a long time, just in the last few weeks. God's been so good to our church. Keep your eyes on what Jesus is doing. And the 40-something souls saved to youth rally. That young man, the new convert that just joined the church, she told me this morning, Erica, she said, "I can't come tonight, Brother Danny. I have to work." Works in a restaurant. But that young man, about 17 years old, Brandon, been right in here ever since that youth rally. Brought his little brother last week. New people coming in the door every week. Glory to God. Hallelujah! Brother, just keep up the good work and get the most out of your life. God will bless you for it. Let's stand. Amen. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. We're just going to play something softly tonight. We're not having any singing.